I guess, so that's the reason I sound so froggy tonight. Speaking of froggy, Dick Cheney's back in the hospital. As of today, chest pains, had an angiogram. His condition is stable. One physician who is attending this man told NBC News Cheney may have additional treatment tomorrow. The doctor said, quote, "We don't know what the plan is," end quote. Well, interesting. What else do we have? Bob in Kentucky writes, watching some of the CPAC highlights, bunch of straights trying to be comedians and failing miserably, especially Michelle Bachmann. She rants about, quote, taking back America, end quote. From what? Better still, from whom? Why don't they just say what they mean? They want to take America back from the N-word in the White House. That's what they mean. Yeah, well, of course. Of course, the whole thing is racist. Bob goes on, enough of the dancing around the issue. The whole right-wing meme is based on the fact that Obama is black, if they don't have the courage to just say it. What, they're going to piss off their base? This is what their base believes. Limbaugh with his black dialect comment, and healthcare reform is a civil rights bill, and the talk about reparations, you know, that's what the healthcare reform is. This is racism, pure and simple, hidden in the load of garbage that the pig man spews every day. All of these white Christian right-wingers would not support Obama no matter what he tries to do, and will continue to do whatever they can to ensure that he fails. And by the way, I had a very difficult time writing that word, the N-word. I had to listen to it from my parents growing up, and where I currently live, it is still used continuously. It sickens me that in the 21st century, I still have to deal with people whose thinking has not progressed from the 19th. What is wrong with these effing people? Bob in Kentucky. Well, Bob, they're scared and they're ignorant. And most of them are functionally illiterate. That's what. I deal with them all the time. Also. Fox News, did you notice that all over the CPAC stage, I don't know if you noticed or not, if you were like most sane people, you didn't pay any attention to this crap over the weekend. The only reason that we did here is so that we could report. And I have to say that it wasn't so much me, it was more Kathy. I can't do that. I would tend to smash our television set with a claw hammer if the faces of some of these evil bastards, you know, appear. I'm not very good at controlling myself when I see the kind of ignorance and stupidity that these people represent actually gaining traction in this sad, busted country. It's incredible. So, Kathy has to send me out of the house when she's going to work on, by the way, we'll have a little bit of sound from the suicider from, it was from the convention, right? But did you notice that how many people who spoke at the CPAC convention are employees of Fox News? Did you notice that? Even Howard Kurtz on CNN's Reliable Sources over the weekend noted that Fox News hosts and contributors played a prominent role. And Howie Kurtz said, quote, "Is this what Fox News contributors and hosts should be doing?" End quote. Why doesn't Howard Kurtz use his platform at CNN to condemn what these cockroaches at Fox News are doing and have done? Nah, he never would. Some of the comments made by Fox News figures at the CPAC cluster fork. Beck, progressivism is the cancer in America and it's eating our Constitution. Oh my God. Beck also said the liberal minority has hijacked America. And because we liberals have hijacked America, an economic holocaust is coming. Not for you, Glenn. You're safe, you lard-ass bastard with your tens of millions of dollars. You're very safe, and you know you are. But you sure do want to have a ringside seat and a big bowl of buttered popcorn, don't you? Newt Gingrich. The radical left is a secular socialist machine that will destroy America. That was part of his speech. Rick Santorum, Fox News contributor, suggested that military officers have been indoctrinated to support repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Santorum further claimed that, quote, political correctness is reigning in the military, end quote. How would this candy-ass, ghoul-loving son of a bitch know anything about the military? This is a guy that brings home a mummified, dead child to show his children, to talk to it and cuddle it. This is one sick, sick man. John Bolton, the guy that Cheney wanted as our UN ambassador, so Bush had to appoint him, a recess appointment, because even when the Republicans held the majority in the Senate, it was very clear that Bolton would never be confirmed because he's a murderous psychopath. But he was there, and he said that Obama, quote, doesn't care that much about national security, end quote. And he further said of Obama, as if Obama was in the room, quote, "We will not let you reduce American sovereignty. We will not let you make America vulnerable," end quote. Somebody should put Bolton out of his misery. Really should. Just drop him down a very, very, very deep mine shaft somewhere in West Virginia. On the way down, his brushy mustache would clean the coal dust. Fox News personalities Mike Huckabee, Tucker Carlson, Dick Morris, Monica Crawley, Andrew Napolitano, Fred Barnes, Tobin Smith, S.E. Cupp. These were some of the people that addressed the CPAC Convention of Losers. Good Lord. I'll be so glad when these people exit this mortal coil. The air will be cleaner. The political system will be a little bit more real. I'm not saying it'll be any better or any worse, but it'll be a little bit more real. These people deal in dark fantasies, don't they? Republican Party still won't take yes for an answer. As you know, there's a newly reworked website for the White House health care reform plan. And if you go there, there's a banner that reads, quote, "Putting Americans in control of their health care." And then underneath are four areas of interest, including one headlined Republican Ideas. Now, as reported at, I guess this was at WashingtonMonthly.com. This is probably be Steve Bannon who wrote this. You would think that at that part, Republican Ideas, that section would be the area in which the White House rips Republican critics of reform and mocks them for even trying to create a comprehensive reform package. But no, the opposite is true. The headline on this page reads, quote, Republican ideas included in the president's proposal. More on this when we come back.
Just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Coming up after the break, I have an Uncle Mike story corner that I want to share with you that is fairly lengthy, but I think it's important to share with you. Anyway, back to putting Americans in control of their health care. That's the name of the page, the reworked website for the White House health care reform plan. The Obama, I hate it when they say the White House's health care reform plan. Obama's health care plan, putting Americans in control of their health care. And one of the areas of interest is Republican ideas. It's clear that the American people want health insurance reform. They aren't interested in Democratic ideas or Republican ideas, as Steve Bannon writes. I think Steve Bannon wrote this. They're interested in the best ideas. No, this is on the, this is Republican ideas included in the president's proposal. This is written by somebody in the Obama administration. It's clear that the American people want health insurance reform. They aren't interested in Democratic ideas or Republican ideas. They're interested in the best ideas to reduce costs, guarantee choice, ensure the highest quality care. They're interested in ideas that will put them back in control of their own health care. Throughout the debate on health insurance reform, Republican concepts and proposals have been included in legislation. In fact, hundreds of Republican amendments were adopted during the committee markup process. As a result, both the Senate and the House passed key Republican proposals that are incorporated into the president's proposal. The president remains open to other policies as well, and the purpose of the bipartisan summit, when's that, this week, is to review all ideas and ensure that the best ideas are included in the plan. And then, as Steve writes, the page includes a lengthy list of Republican proposals that have already been incorporated into the package in which Obama supports. Now, this isn't exactly new. The Republicans' Solutions for America page lists four healthcare planks. And the basic structure of literally all four already is included in the Democratic plan. But this hasn't made any difference because, you guessed it, Republicans don't actually want to solve the problem. The only way to satisfy Republican demands on healthcare policy is to kill the bill and let the problem get worse. And there's a reason for this we'll get to in a minute. So what's the point? Well, it's about shaping the debate. Reality should matter at least a little when considering Republican talking points, and when Republicans and their allies claim that the reform proposal is partisan and that Republican ideas have been ignored, they're goddamn lying. I put the goddamn in there, not Steve. I am so fed up with these swine, but there's a reason they're doing what they're doing, and we'll get to that after the break at the bottom of the hour. What else do we have? Oh, yeah, Zazi, Najibullah Zazi, the Afghan immigrant who is a key player in what federal authorities now have said was one of the most serious threats to the U.S. since the 9/11 attacks. either has already or is scheduled to plead guilty to terrorism charges. I think he already did. He appeared before Judge Raymond Deary at Federal District Court in Brooklyn, pled guilty to conspiracy to detonate bombs in the United States. Zazi was born in Afghanistan, raised in Pakistan, lived in Flushing, Queens. Federal authorities said he had received weapons and explosives training at a Qaeda camp in Pakistan. He bought beauty products that contained the raw materials to build a bomb, traveled to Queens with bomb-making instructions in his laptop on the eve of the anniversary of September 11 attacks. He was not tortured. He was not turned over to a military tribunal. He's talking. He's giving names, cooperating with officials, providing intelligence as part of his plea agreement. He will get life in prison without parole. Zazi has been sharing quite a bit lately, talking not only about his activities, but also about his training, his accomplices, his associations overseas. And this has all been gotten out of him without torturing him or throwing him in Gitmo. Dick Cheney and his incestuous little daughter and the rest of these sons of bitches on the right are absolutely insane. They want detainees to be tortured because torture is a sexual rush for these people. That's the only way I can explain it. It's either religious or sexual. To these people, there's not a whole lot of difference in what parts of their brains are activated by this crazy mouth-breathing hands-to-Jesus attitude and watching someone being tortured. One of the things that never gets mentioned, Josh Marshall noted today, in this endless praise of military tribunals, is that their record, their actual record, is really, really bad. It does not work. But these are facts, and if there's one thing these Republican cockroaches can't stand, it's facts and truth. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Hide his name on a secret list. He was taking away with his laptop, and as he left, he called out to me.
Truth seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour, and it's time once again for Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Once again, Uncle Mike's Story Corner, kiddies, gather around tonight. It's a spook story. It's very scary. Ready for a scary Uncle Mike Story Corner? Not the usual fun or frivolity that Uncle Mike provides. Let us begin. Our writer tonight is David DeGraw. He writes, under the headline, "The economic elite have engineered an extraordinary coup threatening the very existence of the middle class." We all have very strong differences of opinion on many issues. However, like our founding fathers before us, we must put aside our differences and unite to fight a common enemy. It has now become evident to a critical mass that the Republican and Democratic parties, along with all three branches of our government, have been bought off by a well-organized economic elite who are tactically destroying our way of life. The harsh truth is that 99% of the U.S. population no longer has political representation. The U.S. economy, government, and tax system is now blatantly rigged against us. Current statistical societal indicators clearly demonstrate that a strategic attack has been launched, and an analysis of current government policies prove that conditions for 99% of Americans will continue to deteriorate. The economic elite have engineered a financial coup and have brought war to our doorstep. And make no mistake, they have launched a war to eliminate the U.S. middle class. To those who feel I'm using extreme rhetoric, I ask you to please take a few minutes of your time to hear me out and research the evidence put forth. The facts are there for the unprejudiced, the rational and reasoned mind to absorb. It is the unfortunate reality of our current crisis. Unless we all unite and organize on common ground, our very way of life and the ideals that our country was founded upon will continue to unravel. Let's take a look at how much damage they've already caused. The devastating numbers across the board on the economic front are staggering. I'll go through some of them here. Many we have already become too familiar with. We hear some of these numbers all the time, so much so that it appears as if we have already begun to, quote, normalize the unthinkable, end quote. You may be sick of hearing them, but behind each number is an enormous amount of individual suffering, American lives and families who are struggling worse than they ever have. America's richest nation in history. Yet we now have the highest poverty rate in the industrialized world, with an unprecedented amount of Americans living in dire straits and over 50 million citizens already living in poverty. The government has come up with clever ways to downplay all these numbers, but we have over 50 million people who need to use food stamps to eat, and a stunning 50% of U.S. children will use food stamps to eat at some point in their childhoods. Approximately 20,000 people are added to this total every day. In 2009, one out of five households didn't have enough money to buy food. In households with children, this number rose to nearly one in four, as the hunger rate among U.S. citizens has now reached an all-time high. We also currently have over 50 million U.S. citizens without health care. 1.5 million Americans filed for bankruptcy in 2009, a 32% increase from 2008. As bankruptcies continue to skyrocket, medical bankruptcies are responsible for over 60% of them. And over 75% of the medical bankruptcies filed are from people who have health insurance. We have the most expensive healthcare system in the world. We are forced to pay twice as much as other countries. And the overall care we get in return ranks 37th in the world. In total, Americans have lost $5 trillion from their pensions and savings since the economic crisis began, and $13 trillion in the value of their homes. During the first full year of the crisis, workers between the ages of 55 and 60, who have worked for 20 to 30 years, have lost an average of 25% from their 401k plan. Personal debt has risen from 65% of income in 1980 to 125% today. Over 5 million U.S. families have already lost their homes. In total, 13 million U.S. families are expected to lose their home by 2014, with 25% of current mortgages underwater. Deutsche Bank has an even grimmer prediction. Quote, the percentage of underwater loans may rise to 48% or 25 million homes. That from a bank. Every day, 10,000 U.S. homes enter foreclosure. Statistics show an increasing number of these people are not finding shelter elsewhere. There are now over 3 million homeless Americans. The fastest growing segment of the homeless population is single parents with children. One place more and more Americans are finding a home is in prison. With a prison population of 2.3 million people, we now have more people incarcerated than any other nation on earth. The per capita statistics are 700 per 100,000 citizens. That's how many we have in jail. In comparison, China has 110 per 100,000. France has 80. Saudi Arabia, 45. We have 700. The prison industry is thriving and expecting major growth over the next few years. A recent report from the Hartford Advocate titled Incarceration Nation revealed that, quote, a new prison opens every week somewhere in America, end quote. The government unemployment rate is deceptive on several levels. It doesn't count people who are involuntary part-time workers, meaning workers who are working part-time but want to find full-time work. It doesn't count discouraged workers, meaning long-term unemployed people have lost hope and don't consistently look for work. As time goes by, more and more people stop consistently looking for work and are discounted from the unemployment figure. For instance, in January, 1.1 million workers were eliminated from the unemployment total because they were officially labeled discouraged workers. So instead of the number rising, we hear deceptive reports about unemployment leveling off. On top of this, the Bureau of Labor Statistics recently discovered that 824,000 job losses were never accounted for due to a modeling error in their data. Even in their initial January data, there appears to be a huge understating, with the newest report saying the economy lost 20,000 jobs. TrimTab's employment analysis, which has consistently provided more accurate data, estimated the U.S. economy shed 104,000 jobs in January. When you factor in all these uncounted workers, involuntary part-time, discouraged workers, the unemployment rate rises from 9.7% to over 20%. In total, we now have over 30 million U.S. citizens who are unemployed or underemployed. The rarely cited employment participation rate, which reveals the percentage of the population that is currently in the workforce, has now fallen to 64%. Even based on the official unemployment rate, just to get back to the unemployment level of 4.6% that we had in 2007, we need to create over 10 million new jobs just to get back to 4.6% unemployed. And most every serious economist would tell you that these jobs are not coming back. In fact, we are still consistently shedding jobs. On just one day, January 27, several companies announced new cuts of more than 60,000 more jobs. Due to the length of this crisis already, millions of Americans are reaching a point where the unemployment benefits they have been living on are coming to an end. More workers have already been out of work longer than at any point since statistics have been recorded, and over 6 million now unemployed for over 6 months. A record 20 million Americans qualified for unemployment insurance benefits last year, causing 27 states to run out of funds, with seven more also expected to go into the red within the next few months. In total, 40 of the 50 state programs are expected to go broke. Most economists believe the unemployment rate will remain high for the foreseeable future. What will happen when we have millions of laid-off workers without any unemployment benefits to save them? The millions struggling to find work are just part of the story. Due to the fact that we now have a record high, six people for every one job opening, companies have been able to further increase the workload on their remaining employees. They've been able to increase the amount of hours Americans are working, reduce wages, and drastically cut back on benefits. Even though Americans were already the most productive workers in the world before the economic crisis, in the third quarter of 2009, average worker productivity increased by an annualized rate of almost 10%. At the same time, unit labor costs decreased by over 5%. This has led to record profits for many companies. Of the 220 companies in the Standard & Poor 500 who have reported fourth quarter results thus far, 78% of them had better than expected profits, with earnings 17% above expectations, the highest for any quarter since Thomson Reuters began tracking data. More from Mike's Story Corner when we come back after this break.
right now, Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Back to Uncle Mike's long story corner tonight from David McGraw, writing at Amped Status and carried by Alternate.org. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the national median wage in 2008 was only $32,390 per year. And median household income fell by 3.6%, while the unemployment rate was 5.8%. With the official unemployment rate now at 10%, median income has been falling at a 5% rate and is expected to continue its decline. Not surprisingly, Americans' job satisfaction level is now at an all-time low. There are also a growing number of employed people who, despite having a job, are still living in poverty. There are at least 15 million workers who now fall into this rapidly growing category. $32,000 a year is not going to get you very far in today's economy, and half of the country is making less than that. This is why many Americans are now forced to work two or more jobs to provide for their family, to try to make ends meet. The mainstream news media will numb us to this horrifying reality by endlessly talking about the latest numbers, but they never piece them together to show you the whole devastating picture, and they rarely show you all the immense individual suffering behind them. This is how they normalize the unthinkable and make us become passive in the face of such a high casualty count. Behind each of these numbers is a tremendous amount of misery. The physical toll is only outdone by the severe psychological toll. Anyone who has had to put off medical care or who couldn't get medical care for one of their family members due to financial circumstances can tell you about the psychological toll that is on top of the physical suffering. Anyone who has felt the stress of wondering how they're going to pay for their child's next meal or their own, or the stress of not knowing how they're going to pay the mortgage, the rent, electricity or heat bill, let alone the car payment, the gas, the phone, cable or internet bill. There are now well over 150 million Americans who feel stress over these things on a consistent basis. Over 60% of Americans now live paycheck to paycheck. These are all basic things every person should be able to easily afford in a technologically advanced society such as ours. The reason we struggle with these things is because the economic elite have robbed us all. This amount of suffering in the United States of America is literally a crime against humanity. This is part one of this Uncle Mike Story Corner. Part two later on this week. Uncle Mike's Story Corner that is getting more and more difficult to deal with every time Uncle Mike tries to tell you a story. How do you feel about this stuff? The stranglehold the so-called economic elite has on the society is just unbelievable. The mere fact that more people, when surveyed, said they trust Fox News than any other source of information or news is astonishing to me. Fox News, run by an Australian-American billionaire whose chief stockholder, other than family members, is a Saudi Arabian member of the royal family in that country, whose commentators are all multimillionaires, who constantly work the crowd, diverting the attention of the American people, telling them lies, doing all this on behalf of corporate America and the wealthy elites. I just wonder how much longer it'll be. I've been saying this for 4 years before people decide that it's time to change things. And here's the really crazy part. The psychopaths, the sociopaths on the right are saying essentially the same thing, but they're blaming Obama or liberals or socialists or union members. The crazy people on the right are doing precisely what the brown shirts and the Nazis did in Germany in the run-up to World War II. Exactly the same thing. And the gullible in this country are going for it. They're swallowing a hook, line, and sinker. And that's because what constitutes media for most of these people, right-wing talk radio, and the sewer that is Fox News, works strictly on behalf of corporate America and the moneyed elites. Strictly. There's no consideration for unemployed or poor people or kids that don't have a place to live or a meal to eat. Son of a bitch. And they do it every single day. The multimillionaires on Fox News Channel and in right-wing talk radio continue to pound these lies that somehow it's the fault of Acorn or a union somewhere or four or five liberals who are on talk radio in our little corner or mainstream liberal media or Democrats or Barack Obama. And this is done deliberately, while these rancid son of a bitches continue to take everything you have. Seven past the hour. Isn't it interesting? Ronnie sent me an email, and Ronnie points out that at the CPAC Klan convention here over this past weekend, and we have some clips for you, just two, from this crazy son of a bitch, Glenn Beck. But isn't it interesting when they talk about who the enemy is, they never mention fascist, racist, neo-Nazis? It's always liberals, progressives. Huh? You notice that? Never. Never the right wing. Never. As a matter of fact, let's do the first one of Glenn, Tears of a Clown, Beck, delivering his sermon to the creepy congregation at the CPAC convention. He says progressives are a cancer eating the Constitution. And we're all vomiting. God, he's such a poet. But listen to whose fault it is.
It is still morning in America. It just happens to be kind of a head-pounding, hungover, vomiting for 4 hours kind of morning in America. And it's shaping up to be kind of a nasty day, but it's still morning in America. Now, the question is, what made us, you know, sit there at the John vomiting for 4 hours? What is it that has taken us onto this path? What are we suffering from?
He writes progressivism.
What is it that has caused the problem? And if you say Obama, it's too simple of an answer because it's not Barack Obama.
Right, progressivism.
This is the disease.
There you go.
This is the disease in America. It's not just spending. It's not just taxes. It's not just corruption. It is progressivism. And it is in both parties. It is in the Republicans and the Democrats. I mean, it really is. I mean, I'm so sick of hearing people say, oh, well, the Republicans are going to solve it all. Really? It's just progressive life. That light, that's like somebody sticking a screwdriver in your eye and saying, stop, stop. And somebody else pulls it out and then puts a pin in your eye. I don't want stuff in my eyes. Stop stabbing in my eyes. Progressivism is the cancer in America, and it is eating our Constitution. And it was designed to eat the Constitution, to progress past the Constitution.
Now, if that's not the ravings of a goddamn sociopath who fancies himself the reincarnation of a Hitler, then you tell me what is. Glenn Beck is a dry drunk. He claims to be a recovering alcoholic. This was the same problem basically that Bush had, but Bush was just kind of a recluse, like a trapdoor spider. He just stayed in his hole until Dick Cheney walked by, and then Bush would run out and try to bite him on the ankle. Beck is an active sociopath and a dry drunk. As a matter of fact, go ahead and play the second one. This is where he admits he's a dry drunk.
I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I screwed up my life six ways to Sunday, and I believe in redemption. But the first step to getting redemption is you got to admit you got a problem. Amen. I have not heard people in the Republican Party yet admit that they have a problem. And when they do say they have a problem, I don't know if I believe them. I haven't seen the come to Jesus moment of the Republican Party yet. I voted Republicans almost every time I've gone. I don't know what they even stand for anymore. And they've got to recognize that they have a problem. Hello, my name is the Republican Party, and I got a problem. I'm addicted to spending and big government. I'd like one of them just to stand up and say that. I'd like that V8 moment where they're like, oh, crap, I get it now. I'm addicted to spending, and I just don't want to spend today. Good, keep coming back. America is not a clown show. America is not a circus. America is an idea. America is an idea that sets people free. I'm tired. I am tired, and I know you are.
Oh.
I'm tired of common sense not applying anymore.
Oh.
I'm tired. Oh, this is good. I'm tired of feeling like a freak in America, and I know so many people are too. But I am tired of 40% of this country, 40% say they're conservative. Now, how many more are out there that don't want to say they're conservative because you just want to kill and eat children?
Oh, my God. This drooling son of a bitch is so far over the hill. And the really weird part is, I mean, Beck displays his sickness every single day on some form of media or another in this country. But these poor, miserable bastards who are sitting at the CPAC circle jerk, not knowing what the hell they're supposed to applaud or when they're supposed to applaud or what he's saying, while this drooling bastard prances across the stage with his chalkboard and his insanity. And these poor, miserable bastards sitting in... Oh, by the way, welcome to Spokane, who's now one of our new affiliates. I'm sorry, guys, but this is the kind of language I use. If you want to check in, do the show tonight and check out tomorrow, I certainly understand. Trust me, okay? Hope you stick around, but if you can't handle this, I don't know. We're probably not going to be friends. But here this miserable bastard is. Glenn Beck. A multimillionaire. Talking to people this way as though he is not the problem. Oh, my God. And there they sit, sucking it up. We love you, Glenn. Thank you, Glenn. Oh, he's a bitch. Thanks, Glenn. Friend of ours, Kate, who travels around the country in her camper, doing good works. No, I'm not going to say like Jesus and embarrass her. But that's what she does. She's in, where is she? She's in Tennessee somewhere, Kentucky tonight. She said, I missed your Thursday and Friday show working the Rural Access Medical Clinic this past weekend. Treated over 750 folks. Dental, women's health, general medical, vision. Such a sad thing to see folks line up at 4 a.m. in 25-degree weather to get a number and then to wait until 6 a.m. when the door is open for registration. And there's more here, but that's the gist of it. That's the gist of it. And the multimillionaires prance around the stages at these rat-infested, roach-infested convocations like CPAC. There's Glenn Beck, well-fed, overstuffed, his eyes bulging, a dry drunk, in a $1,500, $2,000 suit, telling these terminally idiotic people in the audience that the problem is progressivism. The only thing that has ever pulled this nation out of the sewer has been progressives, Democrats, liberals, people who pulled this country kicking and screaming into the daylight. And then starting with Ronald Reagan and Grover Norquist and the rest of these right-wing scum for the past 30 years, we've been pulled back into the sewer. Where these rats like Glenn Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and O'Reilly and the rest of these vermin can dance around on their multi-million dollar salaries and their job security and tell Americans what's wrong with us and it's because of progressivism? And the people at places like CPAC will sit there and say, uh-huh. We love you, Glenn. We love you. Kill me, please.
To the flying monkey right, it's Mike Malloy.
Shame, 21 past the hour. You know, I'm getting the usual little mini tidal wave of emails now. You know, you liberal son of a bitch, you sound just like, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you come up with any solutions? The fact is that I have offered a very basic solution to the problem, and it's not based on anything that that I have learned in some political science or government class. It's just based on having observed for a lot of years what this country needs right now as do most countries, I would assume, but certainly this one, is democratic socialism or social democracy. Democratic socialism scares the pants off of right-wing freaks like Beck because, well, whatever. But and my version, my solution, would be to nationalize some key industries. Banking, obviously. Nationalized means we owe it. It doesn't mean the government own it. It means we own it. If we truly have representative democracy, which we would have in a democratic socialist state, with some kind of a modified parliamentary form of government. The way the system is structured right now, we lose. I mean, it's very simple. It's not going to change. Damn it. It can only get worse. Ah. Anyway, nationalize the banks, energy production, healthcare, transportation, and weapons production. And the reason we nationalize weapons production, that's with the goal of eliminating the profit motive and eventually murdering it, ending it, stopping it. Democratic socialism would encourage small businesses, family-owned farms, high-tech firms, biotech firms, labs, genetic manipulation to produce cures for hideous, horrible diseases. Get the goddamn government completely out of it. Sure, why? Because the government is influenced by these right-wing Jesus bastards. That's why. Medical biotechnology, experimentation to find out, not experimentation. Ooh, he said experimentation. On a subcellular or cellular level, yeah, to find cures. All sorts of startup businesses would be left alone as long as labor and environmental laws are met. And those laws would be decided by a People's Congress. That ought to make you wet your pants, you right-wingers. That's what Congress used to be called. That's what we used to have, a People's Congress. Now it's a corporate Congress. So there's your answer. There's a solution. There's democratic socialism in a nutshell. Very simplistic, but that's where we start. Kay, our education affairs correspondent, writes, Mike, regarding old Mike's story corner tonight, all I can say is it's Back to the Future. One of the terms my students learn when we study the era of robber barons and big business at the turn of the last century is the term charity case. Charity case, as in, what happened to you if you lost one or more body parts working in a factory? No, there was no workers' comp back then. There was no disability. There was no Social Security. There was no unemployment insurance. So what happened? Students eventually figure out that because there were no protections in place, people literally became charity cases. Up to now, I thought I was teaching historical vocabulary, but after hearing Uncle Mike's Story Corner tonight and reading the lead story in the New York Times yesterday titled The New Poor, it's clear that we have entered a new era of charity cases. From the Times article, quote, here in Southern California, Jean Eisen has been without work since she lost her job selling beauty salon equipment more than 2 years ago. In the several months she has endured with neither a paycheck nor an unemployment check, she has relied on local food banks for her groceries. She has learned to live without the prescription medication she's supposed to take for high blood pressure and cholesterol. She has become effusively religious. An unexpected turn for this one-time stand-up comic with X-rated material, finding in Christianity her only form of health insurance. Miss Eisen, 57, says, quote, I pray for healing. When you've got nothing, you've got to go with what you know, end quote. It's almost too much to contemplate. Okay. Yeah, the rise of fundamentalist religion, the real crazy branch, the real hand-waving fundamentalist insanity. And you find it in every religion. rises when you get into economic chaos like this. That's the only time religious observation rises. It comes out of this mess, this sewer. It's like a sewer gas, a stinking sewer gas that rises because people don't know what the hell to do. Oh, I know, God will save me.
Let Mike Malloy do it for you.
It's 25 before the hour. Again, this wannabe terrorist, a bomber, terrorist is the word that we use now. We don't use that word with a white person, an American, who flies an airplane into a building where IRS has offices. We don't call that an act of terrorism, even though that's precisely what it is. We have decided, apparently someone has decided, to reserve the word terrorist for people who are either of the Muslim or Arab persuasion or are sympathetic to that that cause, whatever that cause is, however it's defined. In most instances that I've read of, the Arab or the Muslim cause is just to get Americans out of their country and to demand equal recognition and or treatment of the Palestinians where it concerns the Israeli-Palestinian issue. I may be missing something, but that seems to me to be the demand that bin Laden put on George Bush was to get American infidel troops out of Islam's holy places, i.e. Saudi Arabia that contains Mecca and Medina. And after, if you believe the official story, being part of a bombing run against the United States that killed almost 3,000 people, George W. Bush did what Osama bin Laden told him to do and got American troops out of Saudi Arabia. It only took 3,000 American dead for George W. Bush to get the message. Then he closed the U.S. bases in Saudi Arabia and got out. Now, I may be missing something. Maybe the Muslims inherently want all Christians and Jews dead, although I don't think that's the case at all, since all three groups share the same prophets, the same avatars, and the same God. Oh, well, I've spent too much time on that nonsense. Zazi, Najibullah Zazi, the Afghan immigrant who was a key player in what the federal authorities have said was the most serious threat to the United States since the 9/11 attack, pled guilty to terrorism charges this afternoon, according to a law enforcement official. He was Afghan-born, raised in Pakistan, and then later moved to Flushing, Queens, New York, where he attended high school. His arrest, according to Washington Monthly, was one of the key national security law enforcement success stories of the last year, which reportedly is paying dividends beyond just preventing a deadly attack. Zazi is apparently cooperating with officials and providing intelligence as part of his plea agreement. Get that? Plea agreement. Plea agreement. Well, obviously he didn't, he wasn't turned over to a military tribunal. He wasn't held without any constitutional rights someplace in some goddamn hole. He wasn't sent to some torture facility or to Guantanamo or to Syria or to wherever we have these places where we can torture people to get information, all of which is phony. Well, doesn't this put the lie to the today hospitalized Dick Cheney and his incestuous daughter when they stand up before the in front of the CPAC circle jerkers and say, guess what? Torture's wonderful. It produces results. No, it doesn't. But simple interrogation methods put together by experts, questioning methods without torture, do work. Zazi is talking, or has been talking, to law enforcement, about his activities, his training, his accomplices, his associates overseas. In other words, he's spilling the beans, as he used to say in the old Jimmy Cagney movies, right? Huh? Joshua Micah Marshall, writing today, said, one of the things that never gets mentioned in the endless praise of military tribunals is that their actual record is really bad. And the Zazi case, textbook example of a process that works. And it works because it ignores the hysterical screaming of Republican hacks. As Steve Bannon says, here's a case in which we stopped a terrorist through law enforcement and intelligence gathering, which Republicans consider an example of weakness. We read him his rights. We gave him a lawyer, which, again, the Republicans find offensive. We gained valuable information through torture-free questioning, which the Republicans think is impossible. Brought him to a civilian courtroom, another thing the Republicans find outrageous, and will soon lock him up in an American prison. Which, for some reason, these cowardly sons of bitches, these Republican, conservative, whiny little rats, considers dangerous. The only people who find Republicans credible on any of this are people who aren't really paying attention to how crazy they're, how they're being sucked into crazy, with Glenn Beck prancing around the stage, drawing lines on a chalkboard and telling people that progressivism is their enemy. Jesus God. From BusinessInsider.com, Citigroup, whatever it's called now, is warning customers that it may refuse to allow them to make withdrawals of their own money. Have you heard about this? It's from BusinessInsider.com. Citigroup is telling customers it, the bank, has the right to prevent any withdrawals from checking accounts for 7 days. On statements received by customers all over the country, last week, it said this, quote, effective April 1st, 2010, we reserve the right to require 7 days advance notice before permitting a withdrawal from all checking accounts. While we do not currently exercise this right and have not exercised it in the past, we are required by law to notify you of this change, end quote. So what's going on? Well, at first glance, it looks like this is something of an error because the 7-day notice policy only applies to customers in Texas. But it was accidentally included on customer statements nationwide. Ira Stoll reports at a website, The Future of Capitalism. He says, whatever the explanation, it doesn't exactly inspire confidence in Citigroup. But it's hard to believe a bank would be sending out a notice like that on its statements, end quote. Now, an update. According to Stoll, Citi issued a statement saying that it has been required to make this change by federal regulations, and it no longer sounds like it's limited to Texas. Further update. Citibank has now released the following statement by way of explanation. You ready? Here we go. Quote, when Citibank moved to unlimited FDIC coverage in 2009... we had to reclassify many checking accounts to allow for immediate withdrawals in order to ensure all customers qualified for the additional coverage. When we moved back to standard FDIC coverage with most major banks in 2010, Citibank decided to reclassify those accounts back to make them eligible again for promotional incentives. You following me? To do so, Federal Reserve Reg D requires these accounts, called NOW accounts, to reserve the right to require a 7-day notice of withdrawal. We recently communicated this technical requirement to our customers. However, we have never exercised this right and have no plans to do so in the future. End quote. Do you get it? Did any of that make sense to you? Just the last line. We have never exercised this right and have no plans to do so in the future. No plans as of last Saturday. No plans. No plans. Not an irrevocable statement. Not an irrevocable statement like, we will never do that. We have no plans. You have an account, Citibank, Citicorp, City, whatever the hell it's called these days. Do you? Oh, God. You know why Cheney had his heart moment today? Because a couple of generals kicked his ass over the weekend. Last week he was at CPAC, claiming that the Obama administration has made us safe, less safe, by holding a practice of torture and wanting to try the underwear bomber in civilian court. While the Zazi is confessing everything except his mother's maiden name, right? But there's Cheney and this incestuous-looking daughter of his. I'm sorry, but they have something going on. Well, I'm not sorry. Screw it. Whatever this keeps this family together, if that's part of the glue, good for them. But there they stood. The crazy twins, sucking up to torture, while everyone with any sense knows it doesn't work. Well, General Colin Powell retired, and General David Petraeus, very unretired, General Petraeus, who is the boss of all bosses where it concerns active military action by the United States military around the globe. Both Colin Powell and David Petraeus more or less said Cheney is a goddamn liar and a sociopath to boot. Oh, you think that's too strong? Okay, I'll share with you what they really said when we come back. Stay with us.
Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Ten before the hour. So, Cheney had his ass handed to him on Sunday by General David Petraeus and General Colin Powell. I'm sure these military people are getting very sick of this chicken hawk bastard Cheney, who had six exemptions to stay out of military service when he could have gone and killed Vietnamese. But being the cowardly right-winger that he is, and all right-wingers are essentially cowards, Cheney is probably getting just under the skin. I'm sure that military people, people who have served in combat or people who have been in a command and control situation, listen to this jackass and then sit back and just kind of snicker and laugh and say things to themselves like, let's bring this sumbitch over here and put him in full battle gear and give him a weapon and turn him loose on the road to Kandahar and see how far he gets before somebody comes and cuts his head off. Of course, Cheney wouldn't do that. Cheney likes to stay home and hide under his daughter's dress and then pop his head up every once in a while at a CPAC convention and talk about how Obama is making the country less safe. Powell, General Powell, on Face the Nation was asked by Bob Schieffer about Cheney's claims that Obama has hurt national security. And Powell said, quote, I don't know where that claim comes from. And he went on to strongly defend the use of civilian courts to try terrorists, as every other civilized country does, by the way, and effectively. And Powell essentially called Cheney a liar, saying that the former VP's charges, quote, I don't think that's borne out by the facts, end quote. That means he's a liar. Come on, Colin, just once. Stand up on your hind legs and say, you know, that son of a bitch is a liar. It was Colin Powell, though, you know, that promoted, it was Dick Cheney that promoted Colin Powell, promoted in the sense of goosing him up to be the Secretary of Defense, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs during... one of those multiple periods when Dick Cheney was in control of something, right? How can anyone take anything that Cheney says seriously about national security or foreign policy? Especially considering that this jackass has been wrong about nearly everything during the Iraq disaster. Remember when he said we'll be greeted as liberators? The insurgency is in its last throes. Waterboarding is a no-brainer, and on and on and on and on and on. Now, Petraeus, General Petraeus, the leader of U.S. Central Command, appearing on Face the Nation, on Meet the Press, said he continues to be against using torture and interrogations, as he has publicly stated since 2003. He said, quote, I think that whenever we've taken an expedient measure, they've turned around and bitten us in the backside, end quote. He then reiterated that the interrogation method in the Army Field Manual actually works, whereas so-called torture-induced confessions have usually proven to be worthless. Worthless. In addition, Petraeus made it clear that he still supports closing Guantanamo. So in short, Colin Powell, Mr. Desert Storm, and Petraeus, George Bush's favorite general, think Cheney's ideas are sick. So here's a question. John Grooms, writing at CL.com, says, here's a question. What does it say about the current state of the far right that the CPAC crowd roared and cheered Cheney's BS and even urged him to run for president? Answer, it means, as we've been saying for months, that they have genuinely gone off the political deep end. Now, they're crazy. They're absolutely crazy. They sit back and let millionaires, multimillionaires, tell them about populism and how they should rebel against the liberal progressive agenda while the people telling them this are raking in millions telling them this. Astonishing. Paul writes, Mike, if you want to have some fun sometime, look at the audience of some of these conservative rallies. Imagine all the people getting Social Security all of a sudden disappearing from the crowd. Now imagine all the people getting Medicare disappearing from the crowd. Now imagine all the people getting or having gotten student loans disappearing from the crowd. Now imagine all the veterans getting government medical care disappearing from the crowd. Now remove the rest of the crowd, if any people are left, that receive public education. You get my point. Who was it that said historically that the easiest people to seduce and brainwash are the dumbest hypocrites in a society? The thing that baffles me the most, though, is the conservatives that hate taxes and big government. Just where do they think all the tax revenue that they steal comes from without a big government to collectively distribute it? Well, that's right. They just hate the big government that serves the rest of us. Taxes are fine as long as they are the major beneficiaries of the taxation. Paul. Yeah, that's true. You look at the crowd, especially that CPAC crowd, and take away the people that Paul said take away out of the crowd. What do you have left? Glenn Beck's family members? I don't know. Oh, man. It's madness, huh? All right, we have a report from Prairie 2, our economic affairs correspondent, coming up after the break, and a little bit more about the Cheney-Mopsy twins. Anyway, that's the reason Cheney had another heart event today, is because people who understand this stuff busted his chops and said he's crazy, he's out of his goddamn mind. And why doesn't Cheney sit down and shut up anyway? He never did anything that would warrant his saying anything about what the military does. He's a chicken hawk. He's a coward. He wants your kid to go fight and die. He's a cowardly son of a bitch. We'll be back after the break. The government website where the Obama health care plan, the White House health care plan, they have a section that says, the Republican ideas incorporated into the health care plan. We talked about that earlier in the program. Obama. Jonathan Schell, writing about something entirely different in The Nation, says Obama had to do the simplest but hardest thing in politics, recognize problems, persuade the public of the reality, solve them, show the results, especially where it concerned its health care, the health insurance mess. Schell says, understanding this, Republicans had a ready answer all year. Obstruct him and the country from achieving anything. Refuse to cooperate with him and then accuse him of partisanship. Stop all his initiatives and then brand him as ineffective. Prevent improvement in people's lives and then point out that their lives were still unimproved. So what is Obama now to do? He ought to ally himself with the only movement in this country that has ever done anything for this country, and that is liberal progressivism. But of course he won't. So the Republicans, you know, when people say, well, they have lost confidence in the legislative branch and the country's not moving, it has nothing to do with Democrats or liberals and everything to do with Republicans and conservatives. And sometimes they are different breeds, conservatives and Republicans. There are a lot of Democrats in the House and the Senate that are conservative. And I don't know why they use the label Democrat, because they're not. But all these filthy Republicans have had to do is just sit on their asses and make these statements about, well, nothing's getting done, when they're using procedural rules to make sure nothing gets done. Democrats never did this. Democrats did not do this to the Republicans. Maybe that's why most people are fed up with the Democratic Party, too, because they're a bunch of wimps. And now Obama is talking about getting the health care reform ideas passed with a simple majority, 51% or 51 votes in the Senate, and a simple majority in the House, and all of a sudden the news commentators are saying, oh, well, what's this? They're trying to make it sound like that would be minority rule. Prairie 2 has sent in an economic affairs report. Let's get to it. He writes, starting over, the FDIC cleaned up another failed bank chain and three smaller banks on Friday at an estimated cost of $1.1 billion. It's an estimated amount since the feds need to quarantine billions, or the feds need to guarantee billions of commercial loans that remain on the books as the assets transfer to the new owners. The FDIC, created by Congress to monitor the banks, estimates that nearly half of all commercial loans are currently underwater. These are the good loans, not the ones that have already failed, but unlike home mortgages, these loans, the commercial loans, must be renewed every 5 years or so, and if they are underwater at renewal time, they simply default. The spreading defaults create more unemployment, of course, and it is becoming a way of life for many who find their jobs are gone forever. By April, some 2.7 million will lose unemployment if Congress doesn't approve yet another extension. And as the economy continues to spiral down, the states continue to have revenues fall short of projections, lower and lower projections. As it appears that stimulus money will not be continued, the governors of the states are getting panicked. The cuts they've already made are hurting their local economies, and less people working means less sales and income tax. Lower income translates into falling real estate prices and less tax revenue and draconian cuts in local government. Then you get another round of cuts from the state, and it feeds back again. The teabaggers want no government as long as their benefits aren't cut. They say, government doesn't create jobs, private business does. But how will that happen with all the jobs going to India and China? The service sector can't sell service to people whose jobs are gone. The only thing keeping the service sector going is selling to the government or its employees. The retail sector is selling Chinese goods to people who are either working for the government or getting unemployment from the government. Without China providing goods on credit and the government printing the money to buy them, the economy would grind to a halt. This is a bubble that cannot last. Past bubbles were single sector bubbles, you know, savings and loan bubbles, dot-com bubble, Enron bubble, real estate bubble, stock market or credit defaults. As these bubbles popped, it all consolidated into one big bubble. China could revalue the currency at any time, and it would be the end of the U.S. economy as we know it. Starting over with no manufacturing base, crumbling infrastructure, and a worthless currency is a challenge, but not insurmountable. However, it will be a rough ride for a generation at least. Prairie 2. PrairieNumeral2.com is his website. So you're not supposed to talk about this stuff. We're just not. Just like nobody's supposed to talk about the fact that this guy Zazi, who has made all sorts of confessions about wanting to blow up the subway system in New York, that Mr. Zazi was... I've heard an awful lot about the Olympics. I've heard about the U.S. hockey team beat the Canadians. Like, you know, the last time that had happened, a star appeared in the East. But here we have Najibullah Zazi, one of the most serious threats to the U.S. since the 9/11 attacks. And I don't know. Was there something on the news about it tonight? I saw an awful lot of footage on the Olympics. Of course, that was on NBC because they're selling the Olympics. But even on ABC... I didn't see that much. And my goodness, his whole court proceedings were handled in New York City, in Brooklyn. Oh, but the Republicans are wetting their pants, cowardly little rat bastards that they are. Oh, no, we can't do that. We have to torture people and send me the videotape so I can look at it and do things to my body while I'm watching it. God, I hate Republicans. I hate conservatives. They've just taken the country. It was what Grover Norquist talked about. And what you do, you see, when you want to destroy an economy like ours so that only the elites are in control, very simple. You cut taxes. So then there's no revenue coming in. So that means you have to cut services. And the more you cut the services, the more of a ripple effect it has to the economy. You cut more taxes, and then more services are cut. And you continue to do that until eventually, you don't have to cut the services. You just say, well, there's no money. I can't afford any more VA hospitals. I can't afford early childhood education. We can't afford to fix the infrastructure. We can't afford health care for children. That's how you destroy a country. That's what Grover Norquist and the right wing has done. They have destroyed America.
Flying monkey free zone.
Past the hour. Yeah, Roxanne writes in, also another product of these times, domestic abuse is amping up. Well, sure it is. Of course it is. Addiction is amping up. And of course, when the funds disappear for domestic abuse counseling, alcohol, drug abuse, counseling. Oh, sure, there'll always be NA, I guess, or AA, as long as somebody can afford to pay for the lights and rent the place to meet. Oh, that's right, you can do it in a church basement. But as the domestic abuse and the drug abuse and alcohol abuse amps up, where's the money for treatment? Well, it doesn't exist. This is what remember this. Just try to remember this. I dare you to try to remember this. 9 years ago, even though Bill Clinton had utterly set the country up for destruction with some of the deals he made with the Republicans, still he handed this goddamn Bush crime family surpluses as far as the eye could see. Budget surpluses, and the national debt declining. And look what they did in 8 years. Now, you don't dare mention this, but I was on MSNBC the other day with this little turd, Michael Medved. He's, oh, yeah, okay, you're going to talk about 8 years. Okay, no, it's a little bit longer than that, Michael. It's 30 years, ever since your boy Grover Norquist said, well, I want to shrink the size of government till it fits in a bathtub, and then I want to drown it. Well, they've done that. They've done it. But in doing that, they've destroyed the country. Well, what is this terrible burden? This terrible thing that progressivism and liberalism has done to the country. Somebody tell me, what is it? You sons of bitches who say that, you disgust me. Every single thing that this country has ever done that resulted in the building of the middle class, resulted in the building of wealth, has been because of liberals and progressives. Everything. And I defy one of you rats to send me an email and tell me that's not true and back it up with something. You can't.
And the irony is that in the height of doublespeak, it's the Glenn Becks of the world and the Cheneys of the world that will say it's the progressives that are destroying the Constitution and the fabric of America and flying in the face of everything that the Founding Fathers had in store for the Republic, when it's they.
Well, of course, but that's how you confuse the terminally brain dead. Point your finger at the Democrats and say, see what they've done? See what they've done? And like Paul pointed out in his email earlier, at these Tea Party rallies, these teabaggers, you know, get all the people who are on any kind of federal subsidy whatsoever, or who have ever been on any kind of federal subsidy ever. Take them out of the room because they don't have a right to be there. And you know who would be left? The babbling idiots that Glenn Beck can then sit down and have a drink with. Goddamn dry drunk dictating. Boy, it must really irritate Sean Hannity, who thought that he was the outspoken leader, or O'Reilly. Glenn Beck has eclipsed all of these scum. Which is proof positive that if you put a bunch of roaches in a glass of grease, at least one of them will figure out how to survive and climb to the top on the bodies of the remaining ones, right? God, these people are useless. I wonder why Liz Cheney hates America. Why does she hate David Petraeus? Petraeus used to be Daddy Dick's golden boy, right? I just don't quite get that, except for the fact that Liz Cheney is just as goddamn insane as her alleged father. What a pair. But then Liz Cheney knows better than David Petraeus, even though David Petraeus has been saying for years that torture doesn't work and they want no part of it. But Liz Cheney knows more because her father was she was a military brat, you know, because her father served his country so honorably when it was his turn. Cowards. Liars. Mike Mullen, Defense Secretary Robert Gates, General Petraeus, Admiral, Joint Chiefs Chairman, Admiral Mike Mullen. All of them seem to be in disagreement with the cowardly Dick Cheney.
Microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Michael writes in, every time a conservative wants to defend capitalism, they say, we have the highest standard of living in the world. Michael Parenti is fond of beginning his talks by saying that at the turn of the 20th century, America was what we now call a third world country. And that every one of those specific policies that have elevated the poor and the middle class like disability, the 40-hour work week, the right to unionize, women's suffrage, child labor laws, Social Security, Medicare, workman's comp, civil rights laws, all were pushed by progressives. And every single one of those improvements was bitterly opposed and fought against by capitalists. Capitalists didn't create the highest standard of living in the world. It was fought for and won by progressives, liberals, for the benefit of everybody. And that's what scares the bejesus out of people like Glenn Beck. Well, sure it does. And anybody who doesn't understand our own history and doesn't understand that, you deserve exactly what you're going to get, chump. You ridiculous tea-bagging jackasses running around the woods in your little camo outfits and your patriot gatherings and your mouth-breathing Christianity. What the hell is wrong with you people? Why are you so gullible? Why is it so easy to suck your brains out like Glenn Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and the rest of these pigs have done? Suck your brains out, spit them in the street, and convince you that these multimillionaires have your interests at heart? Are you serious? Are you serious? Conservative Political Action Committee? Convocation? CPAC? Mouth-breathing knuckle-dragger sitting there? Every single one of those sons of bitches, every single delegate at the CPAC convention was on some kind of government assistance at some point in their pissy little lives. Every single one of them. You know why? Because that's true of every American. Nobody in this country alive today has ever done it on their own. Nobody. Impossible. And why don't you know that? You teabagging freak. Why don't you know that? Huh? Because you're stupid. Najibullah Zazi, 25, pleads guilty to planning his bombing of New York City's subway system in what authorities called Al-Qaeda's most serious domestic terrorism plot in nearly two decades. See, what this means, you know, we had the underwear bomber and now we have this guy. They're coming at us fast and furious, thanks to these sons of bitches like Glenn Beck and Dick Cheney, who are insisting that the Obama administration, with all of its fascistic activity to clamp down on civil liberties in order to catch these guys, with all of this, you still have these pigs like Cheney and his daughter and Beck and the rest of these people talking about how Obama has made the country weak. In the meantime, people who understand this, like the military generals and admirals, say no, Beck and Cheney and the rest of them are crazier than outhouse rats. So he pleads guilty. Najibullah Zazi, conspiracy to use weapons of mass destruction. When he pled guilty in New York City. Also admitted to conspiring to commit murder overseas, to supporting terrorism. Life in prison without parole. In return for his increased cooperation in providing intelligence to U.S. investigators. He wasn't sent to Gitmo. He wasn't tortured. He was given a lawyer and he was read his Miranda rights. Ooh, we don't like that, do we? Good God. Now, where will Beck and his swine be tomorrow? Since today this guy pled guilty. What will be their... maybe they'll be busy attending Cheney's funeral. Mike's in Chicago, listening online. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's everything going, Mike?
Moving right along.
I have to correct you, though. The reason Cheney's hospitalized, actually, because last year he voted for gay marriage. That's why.
Is that what it was? So he's being punished.
Yeah, you know, Pat Robertson and, you know, Fred Phelps, they're never wrong. So it has to be the reason.
Yeah. You got a point.
The reason I'm calling is other right-wing tools that are against government-run programs, they should just put a big X on their house, and next time there's a snowstorm in the east, it'll save streets and sand a lot of money because we'll know where we don't have to plow. And next time there's a fire, the firemen will know what houses they don't have to go to. It's really easy. I'm just my head wants to explode. It's just, and Obama's olive branch is in the shape of a nuclear cooling tower. Oh
my God.
It's too much. And Obama's praising Harry Reid in Vegas on Friday for his toughness in Congress. You know what I don't understand? Maybe you can answer, Mike. In January, there were 14 million people unemployed.
Right.
Obama's thinking all these insurance breaks are going to cover all these people. What about people who are unemployed and can't even afford to keep the gas on in their homes? How are they going to pay for this?
Well, bingo. That's why the public option is so necessary. I don't know what they're talking about when they talk about this plan is going to cover 40 million Americans who don't have insurance. A lot of those are young people who feel they don't need it. But you're right. Where are people going to get the money? There's only one way to do this, and it's very damn simple. You have single payer, where health insurance is available to everybody. It doesn't make any difference whether you have money or don't have money, and it's paid for out of taxes. And when we hit a patch like this, where we have high unemployment, then we better damn sure make sure that the ultra wealthy in this country and the corporations in this country are paying their fair share. If the corporations in America paid as much income tax as you do or I do on any given year, if they paid the same percentage as you do or I do, then there would not be any shortfalls in anything. But corporate America avoids paying everything that it can possibly avoid paying. No, you're right. Where's the money going to come from?
And now Obama, he's the technology president. Why doesn't he have on the White House website the public option, what senators, Democratic senators, are for it and who's against it? And this way we'll know who to vote for in November. It's really simple.
Well, a list is developing. I don't know how many people have signed on now in the Congress. I guess they're all representatives. I don't think there's
senators. There's 22 altogether, I heard, the last count.
22 out of 435.
Yeah.
That's astonishing. All right,
yeah.
Mike, thanks.
Mike, have yourself a good night.
All right, you too. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Take the country back. That's what the teabaggers want to do. From what? From whom? From the Negro in the White House. It's not his. That belongs to white folks. You can see this racist crap no matter where you look. You go to cesspools like Free Republic or an outhouse pit like redstate.com. If you can stand it, if you can walk into these creepy, stinky little websites and read this stuff, you know exactly what they're talking about. It is racism. I mean, Obama wouldn't say it, but it's pure, flat-out racism. To disagree with Obama on policy is one thing. To keep saying no to everything because he isn't white, which is what these bastards are doing, that's something else again, isn't it? Steven is in Burbank listening on Sirius. Hey, Steven.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
I'm sure you've seen the bumper sticker, America, love it or leave it. Is that true?
Yeah, I remember those.
Oh, yes. Well, it's obvious now that our jobs do not love America because our jobs got up and left America. And if Glenn Beck wants to have ammo to beat up on us, let him name those liberal progressive CEOs who sent the jobs overseas, out of country, all over the, out of the country.
Yeah,
all over the country.
It never happened.
Well, why don't we just call them on it?
Well, instead of Obama doing it, why don't we have one of our crack ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN news commentators provide us with the list?
Well, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
And tort reform, you know, that's like, you know, it's an appraisal, you know, like values go up and down. Your house goes up in value, it loses value and all that. And tort reform is like, it's an appraisal on the value of life, you know, like you get in a car accident, some drunk, you know, mangles you, you know, and how much is that worth? Somebody else dictates to you how much you're allowed to have for the pain and the suffering and the rest of your life messed up.
Well, sure. That's what these Republican conservative vermin want until it happens to them. Thanks, Michael. Or Stephen, I'm sorry, I got a boogie. Oh, and as Kathy writes in, the 22 have signed on, her senators, they're not House members, my bad. Stay with us, we'll be right back.
Wyoming, with me, your vote won't make history. Who's looking older than George's father?
Everyone knows it's Cheney. With Cheney, I could go far.
You better learn see.
Before the hour, we are starting to hear rumors from some of the radio press that our San Francisco affiliate is going to be abandoning talk radio. Is that right, Kathy? What are you hearing? Now, so far it's just rumors, but It's in the radio press. This is coming from several sources. We were just informed of it tonight, and I'm not one to keep my mouth shut about stuff like this. It is a rumor. I'm going to report it as such. But if Green 960 decides to change formats, that'll be a real shame. I hope that's not the case. But I've gotten this from several sources now in the radio biz. Michael is calling from New York City, listening online. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, you mentioned earlier that conservatives say that we have the highest standard of living in the world, and people do say that. It's interesting, but I don't think it's true in any real sense anymore. I mean, in a very narrow sense, in the sense of an equation, you can make it work, but that's only because it excludes so many factors.
Mm-hmm.
What about healthcare, for example? People in Western Europe, I mean, when you factor that in, they definitely have a much higher standard of living than we do.
Oh, sure.
Not to mention pensions, maternity leave,
mm-hmm.
you know, women who...
Mm-hmm.
Are pregnant can take maternity leave for a long extended period of time.
Well, in so many of those societies, there is paternity leave too for husbands whose
oh, that's right. Yeah,
whose
yeah.
spouse have just had a baby. And in some of those societies, if you have a same-sex couple that have a baby, same thing applies. We live in a very corporate-dominated, predatory capitalist society that is not going to be content until it has devoured everything, until it has taken everything it possibly can.
There's no doubt about it. And when you think, I mean, in what sense do we really have a higher standard of living? You just take the total wealth and divide it by the number of people. Well, you know, the wealth is concentrated at the top.
Mm-hmm.
So if you took the actual consumption of, say, the bottom 98% and compared it with that of Western Europe, most countries of Western Europe,
mm-hmm.
and France, Germany, Britain, you know, easily come to mind, Scandinavia, and you simply said, well, in fact, you're in health insurance, health care, the kind of health care they get that people can only dream of,
Well, yeah. You don't even have to go overseas anymore. Just take a look at the Great White North. Just look a few miles north.
That's right.
Into Canada.
Absolutely.
Canada has a much more rational lifestyle. They are saner.
Much more worry-free, ultimately.
Yeah, I think Michael Moore approved that in way back in the movie Bowling for Columbine.
Yeah.
Canadians have gun ownership, but they don't kill each other the way we do. There's not the kind of stressors. They may be a little bit pissed off right now with their current prime minister, but the standard of living in Canada... When quality of life is considered in the standard
yeah.
of living, they are so far beyond the United States at this point as to render the whole argument kind of ridiculous.
And what about the annual four weeks of vacation they get in Europe? I don't know about Canadian vacation.
Mm-hmm. Well, Canada is not a socialized country to the extent that some European countries are. They have some aspects of like their national health care, but it's not a socialist country, Canada. Is it? Canadians, answer me on that. I don't think it is. I mean, I should.
I wouldn't say so.
No,
but,
of course
you know,
not.
The interesting thing is that most of these programs that we talk about were put in place before any socialists were ever elected, say, for example, in France.
Well, it's because a lot of the populations, these countries you're talking about, understand and demand what is necessary to live a decent life. Life is not worry-free. It's not crisis-free. But there are certain things that one can do to minimize that. I mean, you don't drive 90 miles an hour during a rainstorm, for one thing. You make sure you have medical insurance for another. And hopefully it's single payer. It's run by it's provided by the government, and it's paid for out of all of our taxes. Just the same way that Social Security or Medicare is paid for out of all of our taxes. Republicans are crazy. Conservatives are absolutely mad.
Republicans are basically on the take. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. I mean, let's face it. You know, they're the party of loot the treasury, and
right.
I want to get what's mine. You know, from the public trust.
Well, it's pretty bad, and they've done a remarkable job. Republicans have, conservatives have, of utterly and absolutely destroying the country. And here we are, shattered into a million pieces. I hope we can pick it up and glue it back together. Michael, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. We're out of time, pal. If you're trying to call in right now, too late. We'll talk to you tomorrow night if you want to check back in. Right? Oh, yeah, NATO airstrikes launched Sunday by U.S. Special Forces helicopters against what troops believed to be a group of insurgents ended up killing at least 27 civilians. Oh, McChrystal has apologized. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.